The House will come to order. Please stand. The flag salute will be led by Representative Gelser.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The opening ceremony will be presented by Reverend Theodore Berchtold, St. Mary's Episcopal Church, Eugene, guest of Representative Barnhart.
In this time of so many concerns, both at home and abroad, we look to you, our representatives, to find a way forward together. May the work you do help to ensure that those who walk with wounded feet see you walking with them on the road, that those who serve with wounded hands see your hands stretched out to serve, that those who love with a wounded heart feel your hearts open to love. May you see your own face in everyone you meet, and may everyone you meet see their own face in you. Let us pray. Almighty God, in you we live and move and have our being. We humbly pray you to guide and govern us by your Holy Spirit, that in all the cares and occupations of our life, we may not forget you, but remember that we are ever walking in your sight. We hold before you our president, our governor, our courts of law, all senators and representatives who make our laws, and especially this body, working for the good of the people of Oregon, determined to make this world a better place. Confirm in them the sacred right of disagreement and discernment, of listening to the voices of all, and of seeking common ground and purpose, that we may be a people at peace among ourselves, serving God faithfully in this generation. By the might of your Spirit, lift them, we pray, to your presence, where they may be still and know that you are God. Amen.
Courtesies. Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to introduce again the Reverend Theodore Berchtold, who is the rector of St. Mary's Episcopal Church in Eugene, my church, and has been since 1982. Father Ted came to us from Holy Trinity Cathedral in Brussels, where he was the canon for 3 years. I really appreciate, Father Ted, your invocation this morning. I would like to also note that St. Mary's Episcopal Church is in its 150th year, a thriving parish serving Eugene and Lane County for 150 years. And Father Ted has been the rector for a 26 of those years. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Welcome, Reverend Berchtold. Further courtesies, we'll now continue with our moments in history. Representative Nathanson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This moment in history may be a bit of a surprise for some of you to hear me say this one. You're going to wonder whether these things are assigned by random assignment or whether I was chosen for some particular reason. This moment in history dates back to 1916. Since 1916, this will give you a clue, we've seen some shift in our beverage drinking, from drinking water out of bronze drinking fountains to something more like martinis and microbrews. If you have any doubt as to where I would have stood on this moment in history issue, you can ask me later, or just take a look at my lapel. Prohibition came to Oregon in 1916. Earlier than the rest of the United States. Women were often the main organizers of prohibition groups, seeing excessive drinking as a social problem that disproportionately affected women and children. As a result, the women's suffrage and temperance movements often worked together. Baptists, Methodists, and Masons organized Portland's first temperance crusade in March of 1851, and the first city ordinance against public drunkenness followed not long after. temperance supporters once held a dry parade 100 blocks long, and Simon Benson's donation of bronze drinking fountains to combat drunkenness made him something of a local hero. Not everyone favored prohibition. Before the law was passed, Portland received about 25% of its general operating funds from liquor license fees. The loss of that revenue significantly impacted civil services. Portland was also a well-known bar town with establishments like Erickson's, a saloon that boasted the world's longest bar. Did you really give this to me to read? During Prohibition, Portland's port attracted illicit imports of Canadian whiskey and local moonshine made for both local consumption and redistribution. The police department used its basement as a warehouse for confiscated liquor. Vice squad members sometimes delivered cases of liquor to City Hall, and most speakeasies paid corrupt police officers for protection and tip-offs before liquor raids. Oregonians were clearly of two minds on the subject of alcohol. Leaves it in a bit of a mystery, doesn't it?
Thank you,
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative Nathanson. It's very enlightening. Further courtesies, Representative Cowan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to take this moment to introduce my honorary page for the day, Arden Rodriguez. You want to stand up, Arden? Arden is from the Eddyville Charter School on the east side of my district. In case any of you don't know where Eddyville is, ask Arden. He'll let you know. He is involved with basketball and African drumming. Sounds very interesting. And he has some career goals as perhaps an actor or a lawyer. That might work well together, don't you think? Welcome, Arden. Enjoy your day at the Capitol.
Further courtesies, Representative Nolan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, would like to introduce an honorary page for the day, Nathan Potter. Welcome, Nathan. Nathan is a freshman at Woodrow Wilson High School, where his academic interests include architecture, design, literature, and history. We hope you get a good dose of history as you spend your day with us today. Thanks for joining us. Please make him welcome.
Further courtesies, Representative Springer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, have some honorary pages today. Carlos Camacho, would you please stand? Thank you. Carlos is from Staten Middle School. He's 12 years old in the 7th grade, and he enjoys soccer and leadership at school. And Alexis Hernandez, also from Staten Middle School. He's on the student government leadership and plays soccer. And one thing that I found particularly interesting about both these young men, they both want to grow up to be policemen. So thank you and welcome.
Representative Wisnett.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's my pleasure. I have three honorary pages today. So first, Vienna Jacobson. Would you please stand, Vienna? Thank you. Vienna's 12 years old. She's in the 7th grade. She's homeschooled in Redmond. She likes soccer, cake decorating, classic piano, reading, bike riding, math, cooking, camping, fishing, sewing. And so that's great, Vienna. She wants to teach piano. Savoy Jacobson, would she please stand? Age 13, grade 8, from Redmond 2. Sewing, riding horses, walking, soccer, French reading, history, watching debates, and classic flute. And she wants to have a degree in flute playing. Thank you. And Britton Jacobson, 14, grade 9. Listen to this one, friends, colleagues. Classic guitar, soccer, mountain biking, reading, and he has a chicken egg retail business we want to hear about. So welcome to all three of them today.
Welcome to all the honorary pages for today. Thank you for your service to the House, and even to those from Wilson High School, from a Lincoln High School alumni. Colleagues, we are joined today by members of the Oregon School Employees Association, OSEA. We have almost 250 members here with us today, and it's an honor to have them here at the Capitol. I would ask that you stand and recognize the members of the Oregon School Employees Association. Welcome to your Oregon House of Representatives. Further courtesies, Representative Reed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good morning, colleagues. I wanted to introduce two dedicated public servants from Washington County. Karen and Steve Packer are in the South Gallery. They have both been officers of the Washington County Democratic Party. Their consistent presences at all our discussions of public affairs in Washington County, and as an indication of how dedicated they are to working to make Oregon a better place to live. Karen Packer is here on her birthday. I hope you'll help me welcome them. Thank you.
Welcome. Further courtesies, Representative Comp.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, please join me in extending courtesies to Alice Swanson. She is over here in the side aisle. And Alice is the chapter president of the North Marion School District for OSEA AFT and a resident of Woodburn. And she's joining us today as part of the contingent, and I'm sure she's going to represent all of us well today. Thank you.
Welcome. Further courtesies, Representative Dembro.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I ask my colleagues to please extend courtesies to some of my colleagues who are here from Oregon's, let's say, that institution that provides education to the greatest number of Oregonians, and that is Portland Community College. If you all would rise. Yes. Thank you. And I'd also ask you to please extend courtesies to two constituents of mine from the Park Rose School District, Deborah McHale and Claire Peterson, who are here joining us today. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Further courtesies, Representative Boone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I'd like to help me welcome four of my constituents from Warrenton High School. Kay, Debbie, Christina, and Michael, they're over on the side aisle, and they come today to visit us through the snow. Christina is very interested, as is Michael, in public service, and we're trying to get them involved and maybe see them in this room one day. Welcome to the Capitol.
Thank you for braving the snow on the way to your Capitol. Further courtesies, Representative Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Colleagues, today I want to recognize a special group of visitors in the state capitol, and that's the Oregon Virtual Public School Alliance. This coalition of parents and students who support online public education have a great deal to offer the members of the state legislature as we debate how to manage this important education choice in the future. I urge you, colleagues, to listen carefully to the message that these parents and children have. You will come to the conclusion that these schools are not only a valuable tool in educating our children, but also it brings in choice for education. This should be an affordable and stable, long-term environment in which to operate. Parents should be heard by school districts and our legislature. Who is best suited to determine the education of their child other than the parent? We should all be concerned about the quality of education, the best education for our children in the future. But more importantly, it should be a choice. Thank you.
Further courtesies, Representative Tomei.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, help me welcome today women from the Women's Health Lobby Day. I would assume it's not just women, but men also. Please stand if you're here in the gallery. Please stand so that we can welcome you. Many of these people were at the Human Services Committee meeting this morning. They'll be coming around to meet you. Please welcome into your offices and greeting them on the halls. Thank you.
Thank you for coming today. Welcome to your House of Representatives. Further courtesies, Representative Kennemer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have at least four constituents here with OSEA. I'd like courtesies extended to Joanne Wheat with North Marion, John Phillips with Oregon City, Vicki Poisner with Oregon City, and Alana Stevens with Park Rose. Thank you.
For the courtesies, Representative Jefferson Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to welcome and grant courtesies to my friend Ann Kemp, who is coming from David Douglas High School, where she has worked as a library assistant for 29 years. She is president of the OSCA chapter in the David Douglas School District, addressing some really significant challenges, including a sector of her student body in that school district, 73% of which are on free reduced price lunch. We'd like to welcome her and thank you for her service.
Further courtesies, Representative Gilliam.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've got two guests with OSCA today, and I'd like you to welcome Jane McKendry from Estacada and Carolyn Zacher from Aurora.
Wherever they may be.
They must have stepped out for coffee. Mr. Speaker, I also have a very special guest. I appreciate everybody that's come in the snow, but this young lady has come from France. So I direct your attention to the side aisle, where you'll see my friend, Maureen Mazra from Salim, France, which many of you know is near Le Mans. Maureen is a Rotary Exchange student, and she's a senior this year at Silverton High School, my hometown. And among the things that she's done here, and a highlight of her time so far, is that she's had a private meeting with Tony Parker. Tony Parker is an outstanding NBA basketball player from France, and they recently had some time together after a Portland Trailblazer game. I'm not trying to start any rumors, I'm just telling you the facts. Now, Maureen is hosted by some good friends of mine, who one is hiding behind there. It's Cindy Jones and her husband, Maury. Many of you remember Cindy from the 08 session. She worked for me, and you drove her out of the building, and now she works in constituent services for me in Silverton. So, Maureen, we're very glad you're here today, and you're going to get the prize for the longest travel in the snow this morning. So please welcome her. Thank you.
Welcome to the Oregon Capitol. And Representative Gilliam, I always enjoy hearing you pronounce French. Further courtesies, Representative Riley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I also have a couple of guests here today from the OSCA group, Anna Tannehill and Stan Utile. And Maureen, I hope you also got to meet Batum. He's also from France, and he's a Blazer.
Further courtesies, Representative Barker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a couple guests from AFT and from the School Association. Louise Curran, Shauna Rock, Jean Gordon, and Terry Graham are here today visiting. Thank you.
Further courtesies, Representative Huffman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to welcome three hardworking constituents from Madras today to the Capitol, Nikki Carson, Bear Ross, and Ruel Schlar. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Denbrough, are you intentionally in the queue?
Oh, sorry.
Further courtesies? The clerk will open the voting system to determine the presence of a quorum. Representative Cameron. Representative Roblin. Roblin is present. All members are present. Messages from the governor. Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform the Senate has passed Senate Bills 106, 124, 185, 198, House Bills 5034, 5042. Pass the following House Bill as amended by the Senate, House Bill 2420. Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform you that he has signed House Bills 5015, 2202, 2284, 2298, 2312, 2321, 2323, 2357, and 2436.
First reading, memorials and resolutions.
HCR 6, congratulating Dave Frohmeyer for his leadership, public service, and accomplishments. HCR 7, in memoriam, Mary Alice Ford, 1935 to 2008. HCR 8, in memoriam, Lynn Maureen England, 1949 to 2008. HJM 13, urging Congress to fund additional medical facilities for dental audiology and optometry care for veterans. HJM 14, urging Congress to end United States participation in Security and Prosperity Partnership of North America. HJR 13, proposing amendment to Oregon constitutionally into local taxing districts. HJR 24, resolving the renamed Department of Justice building as Hardy Meyer Justice Building. HGR 25, declaring No Place Under the Sun Like Oregon to be the state song and Oregon, My Oregon to be a historic state anthem. HJR 26, proposing an amendment to Oregon Constitution relating to elections.
Measures read first time are passed to the Speaker's desk for referral. Standing committee reports. The committee report file has been distributed. Special committee reports. Propositions and motions. First reading of House bills.
House Bill 2955 relating to retainage and connection with public improvement contracts. House Bill 3012 relating to solid waste. House Bill 3013 relating to ocean resources. House Bill 3014 relating to local government input regarding alcoholic beverages licenses. House Bill 3015 relating to applications for authorizations for enterprise zone exemption. House Bill 3016 relating to contracting provisions applicable to public buildings and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3017 relating to apprenticeship appropriated money and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3018 relating to the Oregon Commission on Autism Spectrum Disorder appropriated money and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3019 relating to manufactured dwelling park tenants and prescribing an effective date. House Bill 3020 relating to unlawful trade practices. House Bill 3021 relating to emergencies. House Bill 3023 relating to insurance coverage of dependents. House Bill 3024 relating to the interrogation of Portland State University and Oregon Health and Science University and appropriating money. House Bill 3025 relating to climate change. House Bill 3026 relating to drive-by shootings. House Bill 3027 relating to discrimination involving real property. House Bill 3028 relating to low-speed vehicles. House Bill 3029 relating to public employee retirement. House Bill 3030 relating to ballot measure 49 claims. House Bill 3031 relating to residential land development and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3032 relating to adoption of moratorium by state agency. House Bill 3033 relating to election petitions. House Bill 3034 relating to security release. House Bill 3035 relating to crime. House Bill 3036 relating to telecommunication services. House Bill 3037 relating to paint stewardship. House Bill 3038 relating to electricity. House Bill 3039 relating to qualifying renewable energy projects. House Bill 3040 relating to utility programs to reduce greenhouse gases. House Bill 3041 relating to health literacy and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3042 relating to nonpartisan offices. House Bill 3043 relating to boundary charges under jurisdiction of metropolitan service districts. House Bill 3044 relating to homestead exemptions and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3045 relating to unemployment insurance benefits and prescribing an effective date. House Bill 3046 relating to insurance and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3047 relating to mass transit safety. House Bill 3048 relating to tax incidents, reporting and prescribing an effective date. House Bill 3049 relating to corporate minimum tax, prescribing an effective date and providing for revenue raisement requires approval by a 3/5 majority. House Bill 3050 relating to education registration plates, appropriated money and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3051 relating to driving while under the influence of intoxicants. House Bill 3052 relating to drugs in the workplace. House Bill 3053 relating to minimum wage and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3054 relating to regional land use planning commissions and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3055 relating to revocation of anatomical gift. House Bill 3056 relating to urban renewal. House Bill 3057 relating to property tax deferral and prescribing an effective date. House Bill 3058 relating to removal field permitting program. House Bill 3059 relating to traumatic injury data and just declaring an emergency. House Bill 3060 relating to product stewardship appropriated money and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3061 relating to energy use of buildings. House Bill 3062 relating to energy use of buildings. House Bill 3063 relating to Oregon National Areas. House Bill 3064 relating to greenhouse gas. House Bill 3065 relating to Oregon Supplemental Income Program. House Bill 3066 relating to restraining orders. House Bill 3067 relating to termination of parental rights. House Bill 3068 relating to wildlife. House Bill 3069 relating to visitor-oriented development. House Bill 3070 relating to public safety officers and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3071 relating to public safety officers at state institutions of higher education and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3072 relating to management of forest lands and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3073 relating to public borrowing for riparian restoration projects, appropriated money and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3074 relating to infectious waste disposal and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3075 relating to state capital and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3076 relating to talent and gifted programs and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3077 relating to elective share of surviving spouse. House Bill 3078 relating to fish hatcheries and declaring an emergency. emergency. House Bill 3079 relating to juveniles. House Bill 3080 relating to access to physical opportunities in schools. House Bill 3081 relating to personal exemption credit and prescribing an effective date. House Bill 3082 relating to tax compliance and prescribing an effective date. House Bill 3084 relating to voter registration. House Bill 3085 relating to closure of manufactured dwelling park. House Bill 3086 relating to tax credits for repairs of vehicle engines due to damage caused by ethanol and prescribing an effective date. House Bill 3087 relating to tax credit for volunteer firefighter service. House Bill 3088 relating to system development charges. House Bill 3089 relating to wildlife. House Bill 3090 relating to renewable energy. House Bill 3091 relating to copyright for works produced by state agencies. House Bill 3092 relating to insurance fraud. House Bill 3093 relating to applied baccalaureate degrees and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3094 relating to exemptions from disclosure of public records that identify persons involved in research on animals at Oregon Health and Science University. House Bill 3095 relating to capital improvements, income tax credit, and prescribing an effective date. House Bill 3096 relating to high-value farmland. House Bill 3097 relating to emergency medical personnel. House Bill 3098 relating to land reclamation. House Bill 3099 relating to the use of land zone for exclusive farm use. House Bill 3101 relating to foster home cares. House Bill 3102 relating to crime. House Bill 3103 relating to practice of pharmacy. House Bill 3104 relating to information for claiming veterans benefits and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3105 relating to ballast water and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3106 relating to near-shore research, appropriate money, and declare an emergency. House Bill 3107 relating to elections. House Bill 3108 relating to elections, appropriate money, and declare an emergency. House Bill 3109 relating to elections and prescribing an effective date. House Bill 3110 relating to State Board of Pharmacy. House Bill 3112 relating to taxation of logging equipment and prescribing an effective date. House Bill 3113 relating to imposition of registration fees on vehicles. House Bill 3114 relating to psychotropic medications for children in foster care. House Bill 3115 relating to taxation and providing for revenue raising that requires approval by a three-fifths majority. House Bill 3116 relating to financing for community college districts. House Bill 3117 relating to post-secondary education programs. House Bill 3118 relating to hiring practices of institutions of higher education. House Bill 3119 relating to Oregon Health and Science University funding. House Bill 3120 relating to public charter schools and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3121 relating to keep kids safe registration plates. House Bill 3122 relating to malt beverages. House Bill 3123 relating to the release of substances by passenger vessels. House Bill 3124 relating to visible ticketing for light rail systems. House Bill 3125 relating to filling of claims against construction contractors. House Bill 3126 relating to transportation of wine by holders of off-premises sales licenses and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3127 relating to locksmithing. House Bill 3128 relating to surety bonds required by Oregon Liquor Control Commission. House Bill 3129 relating to sale of wine on land zoned for exclusive farm use. House Bill 3130 relating to public employees. House Bill 3131 relating to public employees engaged in lawful strike. House Bill 3132 relating to public employee retirement. House Bill 3133 relating to agriculture and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3134 relating to sitting of electrical transmission systems and declaring an emergency. House Bill 3135 relating to unemployment insurance benefits and prescribing an effective date. House Bill 3136 relating to tow vehicles. House Bill 3137 relating to transportation, declaring an emergency. House Bill 3138 relating to transportation funding. House Bill 3139 relating to state agency internal audits. House Bill 3224 relating to destination resorts. House Bill 3225 relating to ballot measure 49-2007 claims.
Bills read first time are passed to the Speaker's desk for referral. Second reading of House bills.
House Bill 2090 relating to notaries public. House Bill 2093 relating to publication of administrative rules and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2124 relating to nutrition assistance. House Bill 2175 relating to sex offender reporting. House Bill 2187 relating to fingerprints required by Oregon Youth Authority. House Bill 2230 relating to coordination of land use decision making between state agencies and local governments. House Bill 2310 relating to modification of protective order under Family Abuse Prevention Act. House Bill 2317 relating to collection of state judicial branch delinquent accounts and declaring an emergency. House Bill 2489 relating to documents issued by the Department of Transportation. House Bill 2490 relating to Department of Corrections.
Bills read second time are passed to third reading. Consent calendar. The clerk will read the bill and short summary.
House Bill 2203 relating to unemployment insurance provides that in case of conflict between provision of employment department law and other provision of state law, employment department law controls.
Question now rises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 2203A. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Gilliam votes aye. Representative Cameron, how do you vote? Representative Cameron votes aye. Representative Roblin, how do you vote? Representative Roblin votes aye. House Bill 2203, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill in a short summary.
House Bill 2625, relating to ballast water, authorizes the Department of Environmental Quality to board and inspect certain vessels and to collect ballast water samples.
Question now rises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 2625. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative David Edwards, how do you vote? Representative David Edwards votes aye. House Bill 2625, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. Third reading of House bills. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2261, relating to use of affordable housing tax credit and prescribing an effective date.
Question now rises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2261. Representative Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, House Bill 2261 codifies what the Department of Housing and Community Services is already doing under the advice of legal opinion. It streamlines the financing of certain complex affordable housing packages by making it clear in statute that the department is not required to get specific approval from the Department of Revenue by way of the Department of Justice for each individual project. This saves transaction costs because bond counsel need not contact the Department of Justice for a nod on each sale, but relies instead on legal opinion that these types of packages are legal. This bill would have been on the consent calendar, except that a certain member of the Revenue Committee has a blanket objection to Revenue Committee bills being on the consent calendar. Of course, such a complainer accepts the responsibility to carry the bill. I urge an aye vote and would be happy to answer any questions.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Berger, do you wish to close?
No, thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Galizio, how do you vote? Representative Galizio votes aye. Representative Kotek, how do you vote? Representative Kotek votes aye. Having received the constitutional majority, House Bill 2261 is declared passed. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2318, relating to traffic offenses.
Question now rises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 2318. Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, House Bill 2318 is a bill that truly rights a wrong. If you take a look at your House Bill 2318, this is a piece of paper. If it could speak, it would say it's about time. This bill was unanimously supported by the members from the House Judiciary Committee. This bill makes an important change to ORS 137-225 that has been lurking in the criminal code unnoticed, doing severe damage to many. The intent of House Bill 2318 is to ensure that any record of a driving under the influence of intoxicant, a DUI arrest, be removed when a complaint is not filed or an individual is found not guilty. Let me paint a picture for you. What happens with the current law right now. T- tonight a neighbor of yours comes home from a party, hasn't had anything to drink, but he gets stopped and subsequently arrested for driving under the influence of intoxicants. He'll be offered a number of field sobriety tests. He'll be offered also a breath test. Should that breath test come back a .00 blood of BA, the officer then, at this point, will then summon for a drug recognition expert, a DRE. The DRE will show up. He'll do a 12-point evaluation on the member or on the individual, your neighbor. And should that evaluation come back inconclusive, two things happen. One, the officer submits his case to the district attorney's office. And the second thing is your neighbor gets issued a citation for driving under the influence of intoxicants. Your DA is going to take a look at the case and more than likely is going to dismiss the case and not even file it. But the problem lies with this. The citation is entered into your driving record and is not removed because of the way ORS 137-225 is structured today. There's a number of things I want to share with you what creates a problem for this. I've just recently learned of a friend that has a son, recently been married, where this exact same situation happened with him, where his son was arrested for driving under the influence, blew a double odd on the breathalyzer, and came back inconclusive on the DRE evaluation. It's on his driving record. He felt since he was married, he should go and get himself some life insurance. And as a result of it, he was elevated to the next category for life insurance because his driving record indicated that he had a DUI arrest. This also impacts job applications. It also hurts college entry consideration, and it also attacks a lost opportunity for scholarships. So House Bill 2318 rights a wrong and prevents this from happening to another innocent person. And I want to make it clear that this does not apply to people who have been convicted or who have successfully completed a diversion program.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Olson, do you wish to close? Representative Gelser.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question of the carrier, please.
Does the carrier yield?
I do.
Thank you, Representative. Can you clarify whether this will be retroactive so that individuals in my district who may have been the victim of an officer that was arresting a lot of people who had not imbibed any alcohol, would they be able to get their records expunged if this bill is passed?
Yeah, thanks for the question. And what this would do is, and Mr. Speaker, Representative Gelser, what this would do would fall under the statutes for expungement and would give them the ability to clear their record.
Thank you. To the bill?
To the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, this bill is very important to my district where we have a number of individuals, several of whom who have lawsuits pending against our city for being the victims of an officer who was pulling people over, charging them when they had, in fact, not taken in any alcohol or drug substances. The problem is, because they cannot have the arrest expunged from their record, they're having difficulty gaining employment and moving forward with their lives. This is a very important bill for these individuals in my district, and someday it might be for those in your district as well. It's a very good bill, and I urge your aye vote.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Olson, do you wish to close?
I do. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And just in closing here, the fiscal on this is indeterminate, and this bill has been needed for a long, long time. And I strongly urge your aye vote in order to amend and correct a problem. Thank you.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Clem, how do you vote? Clem votes aye. Representative Galizio, how do you vote? Representative Galizio votes aye. Having received the constitutional majority, House Bill 2318 is declared passed. Final reading, memorials and resolutions. Chair requests unanimous consent that consideration of House Resolution 1 be made a special order of business immediately following the order of business of special committee reports on Tuesday, March 17, 2009 calendar. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Bills, reports, and other business lying on the table. First reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 106 relating to Oregon Youth Authority. Senate Bill 124 relating to operating a vehicle without driving privileges. Senate Bill 185 relating to State Department of Agriculture Agreement. Senate Bill 198 relating to Oregon Racing Commission licensing actions.
Bills read first time are passed to the Speaker's desk for referral. Second reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 164 relating to reporting VATSIS for public assistance purposes.
Bill read second time is passed to third reading. Third reading of Senate bills. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 234 relating to procedure for judicial review of land use decisions.
Question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 234. Representative Garrett.
Colleagues, Senate Bill 234 makes a simple technical change to the procedures for appealing a LUBA decision to the Oregon Court of Appeals. Current law requires that a party filing an appeal of a LUBA decision must serve the opposing party by certified or registered mail. Appeals from the circuit courts and tax court, however, may be served by first-class mail. There's no good policy reason for treating LUBA appeals differently. Under Senate Bill 234, parties will be able to serve LUBA appeals via first-class mail. This will bring the process for LUBA appeals into conformity with the circuit court and tax court appeals. This legislation was recommended to us by the Oregon State Bar, passed the Senate, and received a unanimous vote in your House Land Use Committee. I urge your aye vote.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Garrett, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Gelser, how do you vote? Representative Gelser votes aye. Representative Barton, how do you vote? Representative Barton votes aye. Representative Riley, how do you vote? Representative Riley votes aye. Representative Gilliam, how do you vote? Gilliam votes aye. Having received the constitutional majority, Senate Bill 234 is declared passed. Other business of the House. Other business of the Senate. Orders of the day have been completed. Announcements. Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Republicans will caucus immediately following closure of the session today.
Further announcements. Representative Nolan.
Once again, Mr. Speaker, the good representative from Roseburg has beat me to the punch. But following his good lead, the House Democrats will also caucus immediately following session.
Further announcements? Remonstrances. Representative Barker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, today was the first day at work for most of us with the daylight savings time. Had to get up that extra hour early. When daylight savings time was first being proposed, somebody was trying to explain it to an old Native American chief. And they explained that by moving this, we could have more daylight at the end of the day. The chief thought about it and he said, you know, only the white man could take a blanket, cut off one end, sew it to the other end of the blanket, and think he had a longer blanket. Thank you.
Further remonstrances. Representative Van Orman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Sometimes when we're here, to my respected members of this House, it gets a little difficult, and I do appreciate Representative Barker's humor. Today I wanted to share some information about some of our graduates from our public schools, and I would like to let you know that Ian Shields, who was the quarterback at Oregon State, who was also a graduate of Oregon City High School, was the quarterback who beat Oregon. And Stephanie Osborne Norman is one of the coaches of the Louisville women's team, which is going to the NCAA. And last, and obviously most important to me, my son Justin is one of the coaches at Vanderbilt. And yesterday, Vanderbilt won the SEC tournament for women's basketball on to the NCAA.
Further remonstrances, Representative Cameron.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, as we convene here today, more Oregonians are losing their jobs. House Bill 3095, the Main Street Incentive Package, was introduced in this chamber last week. This bill would create over 6,000 jobs. A nonpartisan analysis showed that. It would encourage more than $400 million, that's $400 million in private investment, not public, into communities throughout the whole state of Oregon. It would add more than $250 million in property value throughout the entire state of Oregon. It would allow private citizens, not those of us here in Salem, to make decisions about when and how to spend their money. And again, it would create nonpartisan analysis, 6,024 jobs. Yes, there would be a slight decrease in tax money sent to the state coffers by taxpayers. This amount of $40 million for 5 years would create 6,024 jobs, colleagues. It's a pretty good ratio. I encourage all of us to put aside whatever maybe we're thinking about that this is not good. Let's not make this something that is divisive. Let's take this incentive package and look at all corners of this state and every person who's out there needing to go to work. People who can decide how to use their own money. And we know by looking at the rate of savings that people are stashing money away. There are people with cash who want to invest it. Let's look hard at the Main Street Incentive Package as a way to put Oregonians to work. Thank you for your attention.
Further remonstrances? Seeing none. Adjournment. Representative Jensen, 10:15 a.m., Tuesday, March 10th, 2009.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn until 10:15 a.m., Tuesday, March 10th, 2009.
Representative Jensen moves the House adjourn until 10:15 a.m., Tuesday, March 10th, 2009. Without objection, the House is adjourned.